Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to the service this day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. I trust that the Lord will bless your heart. Certainly that's our prayer for you today. I want to read from the Word of God, first of all, and the Gospel according to Luke's Gospel, and the 23rd chapter. I want to read in the Word of God at this chapter from the verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. We'll seek the face of the Lord now and we'll just pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy holy word. We bless thee for the scriptures, a light in a dark place that shines unto us, which we do well to listen to and to give heed to. Help us to hear thy word. Make thy word to enter into the hearts of all that hear it. Make it a blessing. Manifest thy Son, the Saviour, unto us. May he be glorified. May thy people be edified. May the true church of Jesus Christ be built up, and may sinners be converted to thy glory, thine everlasting praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to worship God by the singing of a hymn. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even time sad. In that portion of scripture which we read from the Gospel according to Luke, the chapter 23, I want to draw your attention especially to the verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is a word of promise that was spoken to one of the dying thieves. that was crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that the Savior, according to all the gospel accounts, was crucified between two thieves. The Bible says he was numbered with the transgressors. On his left side was number one. On his right side was number three. And he was number two in the center, in the midst. And these words, this word of promise, was spoken to only one of those dying thieves. Not to the other, but only to one. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He received the promise, the other did not. He had faith in Jesus Christ, the other thief did not. And the picture that we have at Calvary is a picture really of the history of humanity. Christ is always the divider of men. On his right hand are the saved, those who believe on him, his sheep, those who have faith in him, and those who are saved by his grace. And then on the left, the other side, the unbelieving, to those who do not receive the promise of everlasting life, those who are unconverted and unsaved. And it's Christ that makes a difference. And it's faith in Christ that unites to Christ that makes a difference. And this thief who received this promise of everlasting bliss received it through faith. And I want to think about the promise with you tonight. And the first thing that we have to consider is the change before the Lord gave this promise to this thief. He did undergo a great change. It is true that for a time, both the thieves reviled the Lord Jesus Christ. They joined together in mocking him, in derailing him. One of them continued in that. It says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He's looking deliverance, but he's only looking at bodily deliverance, a deliverance from death, a deliverance from the cross. And he keeps mocking Christ because he doesn't believe he is the Christ. He doesn't believe he is the Savior. However, this other thief has changed. He has undergone a transformation because he says that it says that he rebuked his fellow thief, his fellow comrade in stealing. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. That's a great change. He's undergone a transformation. And he, after he rebukes his friend, he turns to the Savior and he makes this request of the Savior. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So those three verses, they come before the promise of Christ. And they show the change that this man had undergone who received this promise from the Savior, this guarantee of blessedness. We call that change conversion. Every man has to be converted to go to heaven. A man or woman has to be converted to receive promises like this. You can't say to an unconverted man, you'll be in heaven. But you can say to a converted man, a born-again man, you'll be in heaven with the Lord. So this promise was given to a transformed man, a changed man. The Bible says, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's like the prodigal son. He's come to himself, this thief. He's been awakened. He has a repentant attitude. He's changed his mind and he's changed his views. He's talking about God now. Dost thou not fear God? I'm sure he never said that to his comrade ever before the cross. Never rebuked him for sin before. Never talked about the fear of God before. But this thief now has a fear of God in his heart. He's been changed. And he's even trying to change his friend. Dost thou not fear God? That is evidence of conversion. He has learned about the unprofitableness of sin. He thought sin was profitable before this. He thought stealing was a great thing. He enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. But now he realizes he's justly condemned. That's what he says there. We're justly condemned. We receive the due reward of our deeds. We deserve this punishment. So he sees its justice. He sees the demerit of sin. He acknowledges guilt. He feels his wickedness. That's some change. And the other man hasn't undergone that change. He's confessing his sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So he has new thoughts about sin, new thoughts about God. He has new thoughts about Christ. His heart and eyes have been opened to see the glory of this one at his side. Perhaps he's seen the superscription. This is the King of the Jews. He has heard the Lord pray for sinners, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has seen their innocence. This man has done nothing amiss. He sees the graciousness of Jesus Christ. Whatever he has witnessed, whatever he has heard, whatever he has seen, the Holy Spirit has used it. And his heart has been opened to see something of the glory of Jesus Christ. He's been converted. And when he prays, when he begins to talk to Jesus, he uses a very interesting word, Lord. Lord, remember me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what this thief does. He calls upon Jesus as Lord, Lord of all and Lord of glory. What a change. And secondly, not only is there a transformation and change, there is also a confidence now that is evident in his life. A confidence in Christ. The promise comes to one who has confidence in Christ, who has faith in Christ. Whosoever believeth on him hath eternal life, everlasting life. That's where the promises are directed. To the believer, to the one who has confidence, to the one who has trust in Jesus Christ. And this man is evidencing trust and faith. He seeks for salvation through Christ. Through Christ alone, Lord, remember me. This is a very simple thing, you know, faith in Christ. Salvation is not complicated. Christ hath wrought it all. He's worked it all out. He has finished it in his life and death. And salvation is received by faith, by believing in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what this man has. He has faith in Christ. And in Christ alone, he has no baptism to lean on. He can't come down and receive baptism and confirmation. There are no priests about, no ministers. He can't come down and do works of righteousness to be made ready for heaven. No, he only turns to Jesus Christ. That is all. Christ only. Christ alone. Lord, remember me. Will you not trust in Jesus Christ? Will you not cast away all your dependence on your works and on righteousness and on the church or on this and that and the other, and just rest your all on Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Lord, remember me. The simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ. This acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ. This confidence in his deity. This conviction that this innocent one can save me, can bring me to God. He has this faith, this confidence, and this humility that is evident also in this prayer. But then I want you to notice, lastly, some revelations of truth that are contained in this promise. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This promise tells us that Christ does not turn away the believing sinner. The one who comes to him will not be turned away, but will be received. This man was received, though he had nothing to offer, though his life was finished. Jesus received him as he was. The Lord Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you come to Christ, it is most certain that he shall receive you. He receiveth sinners, the Bible says. That's evident in this saying of our Lord. It also is evident that the Lord has divine authority and the power to save. He speaks as one who has authority. Never a man spake like this man. Verily, I say unto thee. That's heavenly authority. This is a man dying in weakness, and yet he speaks as one who has supreme authority. Verily, truly, I say unto you. This is the voice of the Son of God. This is the mighty Savior speaking to believing sinners. I say unto you. So there's a divine authority that is evident in the promise. And it also reveals that a man is not saved by the works of the law. If ever there was proof that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, this is it. This man hasn't time for deeds. He can do no deeds. His hands are nailed to the cross. There are no deeds. No deeds of the law, just faith, just simple faith. A man is justified by faith without and apart from the deeds of the law. This promise reveals it. This promise confirms it. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So whosoever believeth on Christ hath everlasting life. It reveals also that the saved sinner at the time of death goes to paradise, goes to heaven. The Lord did not say, today shalt thou be in purgatory. He did not say, today shalt thou be in the grave, sleeping until the resurrection of the dead. He did not say, today shalt thou be in Hades or in hell. No, but he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes, his body will be in the grave, but there's more to us than body. There's a spirit, there's a soul, and it is of that which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. Heaven. This is the promise of heaven. This is the promise of everlasting life. Bliss. Oh, there's no bliss on the cross. Agony and pain, suffering, all of that. But heaven is the place of bliss. The Lord calls it paradise. There's a wall in view as this thief dies. They're outside the wall. They're in the vicinity of a garden. There are tombs nearby that are in a garden. All of this is visible. But the Lord Jesus doesn't show forth that hope of an earthly paradise. The Lord is speaking of a heavenly paradise, of a place of bliss, where there is no curse, no fall, no sin. The Lord Jesus is speaking of that place. And heaven is the place where Christ is. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the blessed hope of the gospel, to be with Christ forevermore. That's the hope that sinners rest on who believe in Jesus. So come to Christ. Be like the thief who had faith in him. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou too shalt be saved. And we trust also you'll have time to live, and by your works bring glory to your Savior. This man had no time to live. He couldn't bring glory to God by his works. But he brought glory to God by his death, by trusting in Christ. So believe on him, but also serve him, and work for him, and love him, and follow him. Thank you for your attention and for listening to the Word of God, and may the Lord bless you. Let us pray now and seek his face. Almighty God, we give thee thanks for thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for sending him into the world. We thank thee for his life and for his death. We thank thee that he died for sinners. We thank thee that he is mighty to save and to bring sinners unto thee. May it please thee through the preaching of the gospel to awaken sinners, to give them understanding, to give them conversion such as this thief had, to give them faith and repentance, faith in Christ and repentance towards thee. So may sinners be converted, and may thy name be glorified, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. For Christ's sake, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.